Thank you for downloading this hour of Red Eye Radio. This podcast is brought to you by Freightliner Trucks.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, I was looking at, I didn't even read the article, but it was, let me see if I can find it here. It was in the Wall Street Journal, and it was, I think it was Karl Rove saying the, oh, there it is. Trump has one thing left to do. Let me see what it is. because I'm thinking to myself, what is one thing he needs to do? He needs to tell us whether there's UFOs or not.
He's going to do that at right around 10 a.m. next Wednesday. He'll hold a press conference. All right. And he'll actually have the aliens in the room with him.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I don't think we're going to learn much. But somebody was online.
Oh, okay. He was saying the president should do what the president did yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, come out and say yeah. what the president said. Okay. I was thinking there was something of like legislation or executive order. So,
well, but. And I think there was somebody, forget who it was, somebody in the media the other day on social media. Well, it was a few weeks ago on social media calling for the president to release all of the remaining JFK files, everything that's out there, anything and everything that's out there to release it to the media. I don't see either one of those happening over the next week. Although I really shouldn't try and predict what will happen over the next week, over the next 6 days. Right. That's extremely dangerous right now.
We don't want to predict what might happen later on this afternoon.
After the next commercial break, I don't know what will happen. I think everybody's watching, of course, what will be the list or who will be on the list of pardons. And then I
thought maybe he would say, declassify things. We've always wondered what the, and I don't know what it is because the president said, yeah, we're going to declassify things. Well, a lot of things that I would like to see have not been declassified.
Right.
And so I don't know whether he will, but I would like to see that. I will say that, and I remember when he first got into office, I don't know if it was us or somebody called us, wherever I heard it, who said, now we're going to find out whether there really are extraterrestrials.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But when the story came out the other day that the CIA released thousands of UFO documents online, and this was, this would have been on Tuesday, that they released them, it's Thursday and we've heard nothing. So there's nothing there.
Right.
We would have heard something. And they said, you know, there's thousands of pages. I said, well, I'm not going to read them. Somebody else do it for me. It's got to be nerds out there sitting in their basement. That will read that all up.
Or sitting in the middle of a desert in an RV.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That will do that work, but I was just wondering if Trump would say, look, there's extraterrestrials, and by the way, if you watch the movie They Live, half of us are actually aliens walking around.
Exactly. That'd be funny. It comes out next Wednesday morning. Okay, great. You guys wanted the truth? Fine. Here you go. No more lies. Nancy is from Mars. And I have proof.
Democrats are all aliens.
Exactly.
If liberals are all aliens,
mm-hmm.
or maybe conservatives are all aliens, mm-hmm. because obviously we think in a different way, and that's because we're actually biologically different.
Mm.
We're from Alpha Centauri.
Mm.
They're from Earth.
Yeah.
The Democrats are the stupid people from Earth we are the enlightened beings from Alpha Centauri.
What if none of us are from Earth? What if there were no such thing as hypothetical questions?
That sent my brain in a downward spin dive.
You know, here would be the conundrum. Trump comes out and releases everything about UFOs and everything we know, right? All the data that we have. And everything about Area 51, right? And it's all true, but the Democrats win the propaganda war and say he's just lying to cover up because of his impeachment. And he's like, no, it's true. I'm not trying to get anything out of it. It's just true. No, he's lying. And then it goes back underground again.
And that editor from Forbes comes on and says, don't hire any Republicans because they're throwing all this UFO crap at you.
Exactly. What was the 60s show with the...
The Outer Limits?
No. The other one, it was kind of a comedy with the Martian guy on it.
My Favorite Martian.
My Favorite Martian, yeah. Joe Biden kind of looks like My Favorite Martian. I'm just making an observation. I'm not saying he is... But I'm also not saying he's not.
Wow. Did you see the response that from Chuck Norris because of the lookalike in the Capitol who looked like Chuck Norris?
Right.
And so Chuck Norris was being accused of being there?
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know because I saw the – it was when the night it started trending a few nights ago, several nights ago, whenever it was. I was looking at it. We didn't comment on this, but I was looking at it because it was trending, and the picture, the side-by-side. The guy definitely resembles Chuck Norris, but there are some very key differences. And if you couldn't see that, I mean, you don't have to be an expert to look at the very key differences in those two guys. Very similar. He could definitely play Chuck Norris, although... Can anyone really play Chuck Norris? But it just became ridiculous. No, that's definitely him. That's definitely him. Yeah, I think it became one big... Frankly, it became one... It was a joke for me. Hopefully, it became a joke for everybody else. But that wasn't Chuck Norris there.
Speaking of upset, I just saw the previews for the new Walker Texas Ranger without Chuck Norris.
Yeah, right.
You can't have that.
No.
But then again, it doesn't matter what I think because I realized, I saw the other day, that Hawaii 5-0, the new one, has been on for years.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's been on for a long time.
It's been on for a long, long time.
I think James Caan's son is still on it, I think.
I can't believe it's lasted that long. It shows that I'm old and most people aren't.
Yeah, right.
Because
how dare they?
I watched it once and said, I can't... And I will say this. I did go buy it over vacation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, this isn't Hawaii 5-0. And then I don't know who the guy was, whether he's supposed to be McGarrett or Dano, said, you're somehow associated with Whoa Fat. Now, anybody who watched the old one, my age or older, if you're in your 60s, maybe 50s or older, you remember Whoa Fat, who was actually the Chinese spy who was... Whoa, fat. I mean, he was fat.
Right.
And that they used to make fun of him on that. But when I saw that, I went, wow, it's just different. I mean, that, but again, you really don't see Hawaii 5-0 in syndication and haven't for what? I don't remember Hawaii 5-0 being in syndication for 25 years.
Right.
So it's not really, it's like, could you redo MASH? Probably not.
No.
Because we are so familiar with the MASH because it's in reruns all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's off rerun for a while. Now, I will say this, too. I mean, Magnum P.I., I watched it once.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Higgins is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing with it, but Higgins was such a strong character. It's like when
he had that real snobbish
yes.
thing about him, you know, I played brilliantly by the actor, but I mean, the character was a real snob.
Well, it's like when Ghostbusters came out and you had the three women that, or the four women that became the Ghostbusters.
Right.
And people just said, no, it's not the same. And immediately, I mean, I saw Dan Aykroyd say, it's just the sexism. It's the sexism out there. And I thought to myself, no, it's not. It's that they were such extremely strong and unique characters.
Right.
That people identified with that particular person as that particular character.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the way that they were each played, each of those characters were played.
Yeah.
You know, and you throw in a Rick Moranis for good measure, which was awesome. But no, I mean, you look at that with Aykroyd and Bill Murray. I mean, Bill Murray just, you know, he was that character and that character was him. Right. I mean, that was, and you can't recreate that.
But everybody, that when I saw, there's a documentary on Ghostbusters at the end, they talk about the new Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, across the board, oh, sexism. No, you couldn't have replaced them with four guys.
Right.
That would have had the same impact. You can't. The characters were too well developed and too strong. You cannot replace the character of a Bill Murray.
Right.
Or a Bill Murray acting with a Dan Aykroyd.
Right. It's interesting because, you know, the actors who play Bond over the years. You know, I mean, think about it. Sean Connery and everyone, Pierce Brosnan and all the actors in between. And then here lately, it's, okay, who's going to be the next James Bond? And Idris Elba, who's black, it was talked about. And then a lot of people were saying, well, no, but James Bond isn't black. And Idris Elba was like, well, you know, I think he was kind of neutral on it. I don't know if they've even chosen the next Bond. I have no idea where they went with it. But reading several articles along the way, well, first of all, James Bond also, you know, if he was... Was he Scottish, right? Was he Irish? He was an agent. And I wouldn't have a problem with Idris Elba playing James Bond. And again, I'm not the diehard James Bond fan. You know, that's the whole thing, is that you look at the number of actors. I'm waiting for Hollywood to come up with the idea that Wonder Woman should be a man. Because the agenda's at work, and Wonder Woman right now is apparently hot. There's a new Wonder Woman movie out there at the critics, and a lot of people are really, really panning. But with the way their agenda's going, it won't be long. Well, Wonder Woman doesn't have to be a woman if the agenda is going to follow through. But, I mean, I was
done after Roger Moore.
Yeah.
I really never watched. I've never watched any of the James Bonds after, because that character to me was so strong.
Well, I remember when Pierce Brosnan was on TV in the States and you know, everybody was saying, oh, he would be the next, you know, because look, for me, I like action movies. Is it a good action movie?
Yeah.
Then I'll watch it. Idris Elba is very capable of doing good action movies, and I don't really define the role, but then again, I'm not the diehard James Bond.
It's like I thought when they were going to come out with the movies, you know, Mission Impossible, I said, no way can they do it. And Tom Cruise, no way. He just...
Yeah, they're insane.
Insanely great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insanely great.
It's an action movie. It's the reason I watch an action movie, you know?
But he has to, you know, he has to be the leader of the MI group.
Yeah.
He has to be. I mean, he's just...
Well, he almost dies in every other scene. That's an action movie, and the guy's doing most of his own stunts.
Yes.
You know, it's the realism is wow, incredible.
But yeah, maybe that will be the last thing he does. Trump does. There are aliens. That's where we started.
I think so. I think he does that, and then he brings the aliens out to show everybody. See, and then the first question. You know the first question, right? To the alien, why are you here? What do you want us to do? And the alien will say, die. Independence Day.
I did a show one time, a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it was. And I said, because it was really big on UFOs or whatever was going on at the time. I can't remember what the story was.
Yeah.
And I said, well, are they liberal or conservative? And I opened the phones. Oh, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And why? Mm. Why would extraterrestrials be liberal or conservative?
I think they're liberal because they want to destroy everything with no accountability.
Well, that's if they're the ones.
And they want to take over everything.
From Independence Day.
Well, but they always want to take over everything. With the exception of E.T., who just really, can he just make one phone call? That's all he was saying. I just need to make one phone call. It's like, you know, when people go to jail. I just want to make a phone call. Can I make a phone call? That's all he wanted to do.
All right, we're done. 866-90-RUD-EYE.
Electrical systems are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. So when your batteries talk, it's important you listen. Keep an eye out for the warning signs that may indicate your electrical system needs attention to help avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter. The most obvious sign that a battery-related issue is present is if your truck has trouble cranking at the proper speed. If you experience any sluggishness when starting your engine, get a full electrical system check from a trusted service provider. Continuing to crank a vehicle with low or inadequate voltage will damage the starter and can lead to downtime and costly repairs. Stop into a TA truck service shop near you to have your electrical system tested by an ASE-certified technician today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, we'll get to more of your comments. This is an interesting story. The Montana House weighs elimination of many state-mandated gun-free zones.
Hmm.
The Montana House will still vote on legislation to defend self-defense rights by eliminating state government-mandated gun-free zones at Montana University campuses and other schools on public property. The self-defense legislation, House Bill 102, is presented as an act to enhance the safety of people by expanding their legal ability to provide for their own defense by reducing or eliminating government-mandated places where only criminals are armed and where citizens are prevented from exercising their fundamental right to defend themselves and others.
Yeah.
We'll be watching that to see how it comes out. Any significant prohibition upon the possession of firearms at or on the various campuses of the Montana University system calls into question the rights of people that the people have reserved to protect themselves from government interference under Article 2, Section 12 of the Montana Constitution.
Right.
Campus carry laws vary state by state. Texas law applies to concealed carry permit holders in general, while Tennessee current carry law currently applies only to institution employees on campus.
Okay.
So it will be interesting to see where that goes. I mean, where are we, for example, in Montana? You know, I mean, in Montana, which is more of a rural state, but still will be interesting to see, you know, what the vote is there.
Yeah. There are, and people may be surprised, there are plenty of liberals in Montana that would want to keep those gun-free zones in place, but they are dangerous. Because, again, that's where the area of least resistance by any would-be bad guy in a situation. They're going to look to do as much damage as they can, and they often go to a gun-free zone.
I am interested to see where we are on the issues in this country when you take the personalities out.
Yeah, that's a good question. Where are we? What's our baseline on these issues now?
And this comes from looking at what happened in California.
Right.
1-866-90-RED-EYE and be part of the show live nightly. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just reading the Fox News article on Jonathan Turley, the George Washington University law professor, who said on Fox News yesterday that Trump would have standing to challenge his impeachment trial. Talking about the rules, he was asked, with the strong possibility that a Senate trial may not happen until after President-elect Joe Biden takes office, and we now know that will be the case. Turley was asked if he thinks Chief Justice John Roberts would preside over a figure who has left office. Turley now acknowledged that he did not know the answer to that question, saying, "We are well into the land of the unknown," which is true. It is going to get even more bizarre once the president leaves office. You will be trying to remove a president who has already left. It's like grounding a plane that's landed and can't take off again. He pointed out that the president, as a former president, can argue in court that he is no longer subject to impeachment. Quote, the impeachment provision refers to the purpose as the removal of the president. The added penalty of barring him from future office is something that occurs after conviction and then removal. Turley noted there's been a long-standing debate as to whether a former official can be impeached. It happened once, but that official was acquitted in the Senate, and many senators took the view that the House had acted improperly. This is one of the few impeachment issues that could actually be resolved by the courts. If they did impose this penalty in a type of retroactive impeachment, the president would have standing to challenge it, and a court could rule on it. And he also stressed that he didn't think that the Democrats should have gone forward with impeachment as they did. He said the process is supposed to be deliberative, not impulsive. Well, these are modern-day Democrats.
Yeah, right.
And deliberative is not a word that they recognize.
No.
We saw it in the first impeachment even, and we saw it in this one. We go to Earl in Cincinnati. Earl, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thanks for having me, guys. I just wanted to say before I get into my statements is I cannot believe you guys brought up that old movie, They Live, with Rowdy Piper. Don't forget your glasses.
Yeah, yes. Gotta have. By the way, that fight scene in the alleyway is one of the greatest fight scenes ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just again, to put on the glasses, that's got to go through a pretty lot of stuff to do that.
And I have to temper this. I have to paraphrase this, but when he walks into the bank, I believe, I'm here to kick butt and, chew bubble gum? And I'm all out of bubble gum.
Yeah, right.
Out of bubble gum.
Yes. Yes.
Well, gentlemen, what I wanted to say with the impeachment is I think it's redundant. I think it's a lot of vengeance going on right now. I mean, they haven't stopped letting up on him since the first day he took office, you know. They're not going to be able to get it done like you guys were just saying. They're not going to get it done in time, for one. And number two is, this is something I don't know if anybody's taken the time to look at. Did you notice how the shoe went to the other foot when protesters came to the Capitol building? Well, we went through so much stuff during the spring and summer on a lot of our major cities. That looked like a picnic compared to what we went through in the summer and spring, but yet, oh, it's unacceptable to protest. Now, I'm not agreeing with what they did in the Capitol building by a long shot, not at all. But now they're going to put the president up for inciting a riot and all this. And I don't think he did. I mean, I over-listened to that stuff so many times just to see, and I didn't see it. But yet all these governors on these other major cities during the spring and summer, they didn't do anything. Well, where I come from,
because
not doing anything is just as bad as inciting it.
Yeah, as we have stated before, it doesn't matter whether you believe Trump has zero blame for what happened. It doesn't matter whether you believe he has 17% blame, 50% blame, or 100% blame. All that matters is the politics of it, and the scenes there are scenes we have never seen before. Anyone who is alive in the United States right now has never seen anything as reprehensible as people basically attacking the seats of power of Congress. That's never happened in anybody's lifetime. The imagery of that is what's driving the impeachment, because they know they can do it, and they know that it is so toxic. And as I said earlier, not that every riot isn't serious, but Americans are used to seeing rioting in the streets. And I went back all the way back to the, you know, over 25 years ago, and the L.A. riots and all the riots that happened, the G8, the G20 riots. We've seen rioting in the streets. We don't like it, but we're accustomed to it. We're not accustomed to the political imagery or the violent imagery or the riot imagery in the halls of Congress. That doesn't happen. The imagery right. is that of a third world, even if it's not. Even if it's not the reality, it's the imagery of a third world country or a banana republic. And the Democrats know they can get so much mileage out of this. There was a story, again, that I saw yesterday, and I was a Washington Post. You may believe it, you may not believe it. But that everybody in the White House is abandoning him, and he's furious at everybody. Kayleigh McEnany isn't supporting him. Because you can't touch this. It doesn't matter whether they were his people, he gets the blame. And that's why early on you had a lot of Trump supporters saying it was Antifa. They were saying that because we didn't know who it was at that moment. It could have been, but they were also saying that to deflect blame because they knew how toxic it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be something else. These can't be Trump supporters. And now as you see person after person getting arrested, and you go back and you look at their social media and you realize these are Trump fans, you cannot beat that imagery. It's impossible.
Right.
And that's just the reality.
I still feel that they actually start bringing these charges upon these other governors about what happened to our cities, because doing that stuff is just as bad as what they're trying to say that he did.
Well, you'd have to
not doing anything when you have all that power to protect our people and our city, and those governors didn't do anything, no matter what political party they lied to, whether Republican or Democrat. Because I'm neither, but when those governors allow that stuff to happen, and they nothing is done to them, that's not right either.
Well,
that's not right.
The mayors that allowed it to happen, you could look at it and say, you could impeach them for dereliction of duty. Any of these politicians could have been impeached, but you have to be impeached. And the majority of them were dealing with city councils and legislatures that are Democrats, and they're not going to do that.
And
that's part of the hypocrisy.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
That's part of the hypocrisy. Yeah.
Thanks,
that's
Earl.
What I'm getting at.
Yeah. Right.
If we're going to do something, let's make sure it's right.
But it doesn't matter. The imagery here is just something that is unheard of for any American out there and unseen until last Wednesday. That's what I've said over and over
again. I agree. I'm a veteran. Totally agree. I was in tears watching that.
Yeah, it's so incredibly toxic that nobody wants to touch it, and nobody wants to defend the president.
Thanks, Earl.
Even if they believe, like I said, it doesn't matter whether you believe zero responsibility for it or 100%. They were his people doing it. Over.
Mm-hmm.
Can't win it.
Right.
Hang it up, go home.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win that one.
No, you're not. Nobody's touching it. I mean, you see it everywhere from, inside the Beltway, anybody within the party, people on the staff in the White House, cabinet members, private sector, everybody. You're not just creating a degree of separation. You're cutting the rope.
And the biggest problem of that day was not necessarily his speech. It was afterwards.
Right. It wasn't what happened leading up to it. It wasn't that day and the speech that he gave. It was the statement that he made.
The statement that he made afterwards.
Hours later.
Which, I'm sorry, he communicated the fact. He communicated, in essence, he didn't come out and say, "You're not my people.
Right.
These are not my people."
Right.
These are not. He basically told the people that he loved them. Now it's time to go home.
Right.
As if he was talking to the people that were rioting.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible.
Right.
And you look at that and you take everything that happened, what has helped get this the energy behind this, which was the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the lies from his legal team pushing it, but he also said those things.
Well, and think about
that you could change it. They knew they couldn't change it. They knew the vice president had no constitutional authority. They knew Congress wasn't going to do it. They set expectations that were impossible, and many of his followers believed him.
And the reason we know it was mishandled that day, and I'm really still wondering why in the world there wasn't somebody that was able to redirect him on that message and keep it simple and direct. Stop the violence and stop it now.
By the way,
and the reason we know that he sees it as the wrong message on that day is because the following day he released a very different statement. And yesterday,
very different statement. Yes. And that's a problem because it goes back to that day.
Right.
And, you know, the story in the Washington Post, again, it's a sore story, so we always take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But it says he's furious at Giuliani and he's not paying Giuliani.
Right.
He's not going to pay Giuliani
right.
because Giuliani did not deliver. And as we said all along, if the president's furious at what the lawyers did, you should be furious at the lawyers and not be defending the lawyers.
That's where it started with us.
Right. Started with us where we said the lawyers are lying to you.
Yep.
And now Trump is apparently
furious. Well, because
furious
we asked
the
question, look, where's he getting his information?
The lawyers.
I mean, he's the president. He's not out there doing all the work. They're bringing that to him. And so he was getting the information from them.
You would ask the other day, you asked me, you said, where's Giuliani? I said, I don't know. Well, if that's true, that he's not going to pay him, that's why Giuliani isn't around.
Right. He's not going to act on his behalf. Giuliani is right now, he's trying to get paid. Good luck with that. You're going to have to sue
now,
Donald Trump.
You know the whole problem with this?
Mm.
So I saw the story yesterday about, you know, these people, and I'm like, oh, wonder what the president said on Twitter. Oh, he's no longer there.
Yeah.
Because normally the president would immediately respond to a story like that. And,
right.
And you didn't, you know, there is no outlet for the president.
When he released the statement yesterday on Twitter, on YouTube. And then they, you know, others released that the White House had released a statement, the president released a statement via the White House on YouTube. And that was totally different because it was like, you know, different, how many different steps to get to the president's message, where before when he was on Twitter, it dominated because everybody was quoting it or retweeting it immediately. It was very different.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, got this message from a listener who asked, well, what about Biden in China? We're hearing nothing on that. When you're going to hear less because we lost the Senate.
Yeah, you're not going to hear Republicans will want a hearing, but they're not going to get it because they don't control the committees. So not going to happen.
You know, the FBI is investigating, as we know.
See where that goes.
Under Biden, we'll see where that goes. Mm-hmm. And if Merrick Garland is confirmed, as I'm assuming he will be, but when would that be if the impeachment goes on? Who's running the Justice Department at that point? We understand that completely. But losing the Senate, Republicans losing the Senate has consequences.
Yep.
And we said from the very beginning, you're not going to have hearings. You're not going to have Bob Ulinski before the Senate. There will be no congressional hearings on, unless something comes out of the FBI investigation.
Yeah, I mean, if it gets to the point of a grand jury or prosecutor moving on that investigation, then, you know, that's something that they can't really step in the way of, you know, because it's been going on. But we'll see if that happens. I don't have my expectations very high at all. And the same goes for Durham and any report that's expected there. I think it'll be a yawner. I think it will be pretty much nothing.
Yeah, I will go.
I would love to be wrong about that. I hate that because that's a complete injustice.
I would just go with an I don't know because of how they've expanded the investigation, and we know that they've expanded it.
Yeah. I don't know how far it will go. I'm just saying I don't have confidence in it. So...
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios... This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where you can find us online to stream live. Or you can get our app, and you can listen whenever you want. Listen live, listen to our podcast, which is our show. And so you get your choice of what to do. Well, I guess we can call it Impeachment 2.0.
Yeah. Yeah.
President Trump impeached again yesterday. Did you see the meme going around Groundhog Day?
Yeah, right.
It's impeachment day again.
Again. It's played out very quickly as we said it would. I guess now the question is how soon does Pelosi send it over to the Senate?
And as we know, it's not going to... None of this is going to happen until he's actually out of office. So there's so many questions that we've talked about during the show, and we will continue to talk about it, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks. Want to play this audio cut. This is Jim Jordan yesterday at the impeachment hearings.
And Republicans have been consistent. We've condemned all the violence all the time. We condemned it last summer. We condemned it last week. We should be focused on bringing the nation together. Instead, Democrats are going to impeach the president for a second time, one week before he leaves office. Why? Why? Politics and the fact that they want to cancel the president. The president who cut taxes, the president who reduced regulations, the president prior to COVID had the greatest economy, lowest unemployment in 50 years, the president who got us out of the Iran deal, put the embassy in Jerusalem, brought hostages home from North Korea, put three great justices on the Supreme Court, gave us a new NAFTA agreement, the Abraham Accords, the COVID vaccine, and who built the wall. It's about politics. This is about getting the president of the United States. They spied on his campaign before he was elected. 19 minutes into his presidency, they started the impeachment push. Three-year Mueller investigation, 19 lawyers, 40 agents, 500 witnesses, 2,500 subpoenas, $40 million to find nothing. Impeachment round one based on an anonymous whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge who was biased against the president and who worked for Joe Biden. And now it's impeachment round two. It's always been about getting the president, no matter what. It's an obsession that is now broadened. It's not just about impeachment anymore. It's about canceling, as I've said. Canceling the president and anyone that disagrees with them. The Ayatollah can tweet, the president can't. Democrats can object on January 6, 2017, but Republicans aren't allowed to object on January 6, 2021. Democrats say Antifa is a myth. Republicans condemn all violence all the time.
There you go. And he laid out again, and that was for public consumption, just so people know. I've gotten a few messages over the last couple of days, and I just I'm just like, hello. And these messages say, why can't Democrats see the accomplishments of this president and appreciate them? Because they're against the accomplishments of the president.
Right.
They disagree with it. They didn't want to lower taxes.
Right.
They don't wish to get rid of sanctuary cities. They believe that illegal immigrant criminals should be able to roam free and eventually hurt innocent American citizens. They agree with it. Mm-hmm. The American public doesn't agree with sanctuary cities. The Democrats do. The Democrats want open borders, so they're not happy to have a wall or to have stricter control at our borders because they don't want it. So, look, I understand if you would say, you know, why doesn't the American public or why don't independents appreciate it? Because as we have stated in the election, and California was a perfect example, you had 5 million more people vote for Biden than Trump. But when it came to the issues, every major issue there, and there was the affirmative action,
mm-hmm.
raising corporate taxes,
mm-hmm.
rent control,
gig workers,
and the gig workers.
Right.
Every single major proposition in California that many people believe is one of the most liberal states on the propositions they voted like Oklahoma would,
mm-hmm.
a very, very conservative state. They voted against their own self-interest, though, when it came to president.
Yep.
Understand where we are. And I know he's probably trying to reach out to Democrats. Now, the Democrat rank and file, the voter may think a particular way, but the Democrats in Congress, those that make up the party, they're against everything that this president accomplished. They're not for it.
Right.
So don't expect that they would appreciate it. But putting out that message, I think, is important. And even the whataboutism that is out there, it's not going to get you anywhere here. It's not going to change the current situation, but it will. You can, I believe the Republicans should continue to pound it over and over and over and over again about the double standard, about what we saw in the riots in the streets. It's not going to change this because of the imagery. If you expect it to change anything now, it's not. It's not going to convince anybody now. But it's important to note the hypocrisy that violence on the streets was okay with Democrats. In fact, they refused to even acknowledge it. Not only do they refuse to acknowledge it, but they called it peaceful demonstrations. And when violence broke out, it was only because law enforcement caused those riots to break out. We know that's completely and totally false. It was a lie told over and over and over and over again. And the biggest lie that they told that helped to create the violence on the streets, of course, was that police departments are systemically racist to hunt down and kill blacks. And they believe me, they feel emboldened by that. They believe they can do anything because they got away with that. And they intimidated corporations and sports leagues to market the lie for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then we found out after the dust had settled, didn't matter where you live in the country, people very satisfied with their police departments. Didn't matter if you were rural, suburban, or urban. Massive support for the police in people's districts. It's sort of like Congress. We hate Congress, but we love our congressperson. But that whole lie was sold, is still being sold. Maybe not to the degree as it was. We see a lot of the fallout from defund the police. We see the backtracking that's going on there. We see that, the idiots in the Democratic Party that were trying to sell you, we get rid of police and our towns will be safer. That's not happening, is it?
No, it is not.
And is there any accountability for those politicians there? No.
No. And, you know, this is, I think, what Jim Jordan pointed out very clear. It's not going to win you this battle. It's not going to get
right.
you anywhere anytime soon, which is why you have, you know, everything that's going on. Just look inside the White House. You have staffers. You have cabinet members that are looking to separate themselves very quickly, and did a number of them, from this president. And that's just the way the fallout works.
Doesn't matter if you believe the president is 0% responsible, 50%, or 100%, or anywhere along that scale. As we said, bringing up the whataboutism, no matter how legitimate it is to show the hypocrisy of the Democrats, will do nothing in this particular case because of how toxic though that imagery was, because not American alive has seen imagery like that, of that type of violence and rioting that was not a coup or an insurrection, but sure did look like one.
Well, perception is reality.
Exactly. It sure, and that's the problem. You can't win that. And that's why initially when you heard many of the president's defenders say it was Antifa, whatever, and we said, doesn't cut it, and we said doesn't cut it because Trump supporters were in there, and now we see with arrest after arrest after arrest how many Trump supporters are in there. You can't win it.
No.
Can't win this one. It's done. Close the book. Start over. Start over from the beginning again. This book is closed.
Yep.
The president's out of office. We know a lot of you believe that he can run and win again. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe the Republicans want him part of the party anymore. It's just too toxic what happened. Even if you believe, well, that's not fair, doesn't matter. You cannot beat that image. You cannot defeat that imagery that the American people saw last Wednesday. It's impossible.
Well, in order for the president to run as a Republican and not an independent, and an independent is not going to win the presidential election.
No, he won't win.
2024.
Right. Right.
So if he did that, that would only be to spoil it. That would only be to play the spoiler, which he may decide to do. But if he wanted to win and he wants to run as a Republican, which is your only choice, the Republican Party is not going to embrace him in the next presidential cycle, when the last presidential election cycle went down like this. There is not a chance of them embracing him and putting him on stage at the RNC in the summer of 2024. It is not going to happen.
What are Republicans thinking? Republicans in Congress are thinking, as we said yesterday, there's the mindset that they hear supporters saying you can't win without him, and their response is back to those supporters, we can't win with him.
Right.
We don't believe we can win with him, and we believe that he hurt the Senate race. And there are many Republicans that view that, especially the Senate race, as they cannot forgive or forget that. Mm. That's just the way that it is.
Right.
We aren't a member. I'm not a member of the Republican Party. I'm not part of the politics of the Republican Party. That's what I mean when I'm not a member. I'm not a member. I don't actively donate to the Republican Party. I don't promote their candidates anymore. I have nothing to do with the Republican Party. I'm just telling you how I may vote Republican, but I'm not a part of it. I'm just telling you how they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of what's going on right now. A lot of people don't want to accept the reality, but they shouldn't think that way. Doesn't matter whether you think they should or not. That's how they're thinking. Because they understand you cannot beat the imagery of last Wednesday.
Right.
So it's over, move on.
Well, that's it. I mean, it is about... from here in the immediate future, it's about what does the Senate do with this? And then beyond that, what does the president do? The president's energy is going to be focused in his private life, going to be focused on rebuilding his business, which would have been a chore without what happened last Wednesday. But now you have companies that are moving away from him. That, again, that was going to happen, even if last Wednesday never happened. But now it's going to be much more difficult for him to have business associates. And, you know, you see the major brands that are saying, okay, we don't want anything to do with him. And he's going to look to rebuild that. Can he do that? That'll be difficult. That'll be really, really difficult. I'm not saying everybody's going to be in that boat and his business is completely destroyed. But remember, that is him. His brand is his crown jewel. That's it. He puts his name on everything he owns. And so going back into the private sector, that's going to consume a ton of his energy. So I don't know where he will be politically 4 years from now. I really don't.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Let's go back to April 2017. Sonny Perdue's first day as USDA Secretary telling employees,
"My vision for the Department of Agriculture is to be the best run, the best managed, the best regarded agency in this country."
Fast forward now almost 4 years.
"I sure hope we've lived up to that mission in your eyes."
Sonny Perdue in a pre-recorded message to the American Farm Bureau Federation's virtual convention this week. In that message, Perdue describing the nation's farmers as
great patriots who selflessly commit their lives to feed and clothe their fellow citizens.
And he said they need to be free to innovate and use the latest science to produce more, but also
we need more markets abroad to sell the abundance of American agriculture. This means more trade deals like the USMCA and holding China to their trading commitments.
But who said the U.S. should set its sights on emerging markets such as Southeast Asia and Africa? Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. In other news out there, not really big news, but Andrew Yang announces his candidacy for New York City mayor.
Good luck.
And as we predicted yesterday, we didn't know it was going to be like this proclamation that Marco Rubio made, but we said, watch the Republicans because they know the damage that was done by the imagery last Wednesday. Watch them try to get back into the good graces by saying, whatever the Democrats want, we will do. Marco Rubio came out yesterday. It was like he was listening to our show, seriously. And he came out and he said, we need to unite. We need to unite. How do we reunite? Give people cash.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were talking about that. You had a number of Republicans, both Loeffler and Perdue, were on board for giving people $2,000. Remember that when the president was calling for that. And this is exactly how it will continue. Well, this is what we're going to go back to.
What I thought was he wasn't saying, "Look, we need to give this relief because Americans need it." His whole concept was, this is how we unite America and bring them back together. Pay them off. I mean, that's the message that I got.
Yeah.
Pay them off.
Yeah, it's interesting how Rubio has taken this turn over the last few years. Or maybe he just never was a fiscal conservative. He and Mike Lee pushing for the fully refundable $2,000 child tax credit on the Republican tax bill that became law.
I wanted to ask Rubio, so what do you think it will take on one side, Republicans, to soothe their anger? How much you think 2,000 will do it? I think it's going to take a lot more than 2,000. And what about Democrats' hate for the president?
Well, my anger is worth like 10 grand a week.
Yeah.
I've measured my anger.
Yeah, 1,400 more isn't going to cover it.
By the way, I'm not going to limit it to 10,000 because I don't think you should limit it.
Does 1,400 bring unity?
Here's your forecast.
More in the way of high wind warnings are in effect today for portions of Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, and northern Oklahoma. Sustained winds will be around 30 miles an hour. The wind gusts will be up around 70. Out ahead of those high winds, a developing storm will bring considerable snow over the upper Midwest today, with that rain and snow moving into the Great Lakes and Ohio Valley by later tonight and into the weekend. Look for some areas of the upper Midwest tomorrow to see up to 10 inches of snow. And for many Midwest locations, the temperature will sure reflect a change tomorrow. Today, the high for Indianapolis will be about 45. Tomorrow, in the upper 30s with a good chance of snow. That snow on Saturday will drift as far south as Knoxville, Tennessee, as portions of the lower Tennessee Valley get a taste of winter. And there's a look at your national forecast. From Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Let's not have to go through that again. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, this is overnight. You ready for this?
All right.
Because this came from the BBC. James Comey on the BBC. Okay. I'm just going to play it.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right,
here we go.
I obviously think he belongs in jail, but I don't think pursuing that is in the best interest of the entire nation. So I think the wiser decision would be not to pursue him. But whatever you do, the next president, Joe Biden, should explain it to the American people. Be transparent about why you're doing what you're doing.
Do you think Joe Biden should pardon Trump as Ford did Nixon?
I don't know. He should consider it. Now, I don't know whether Donald Trump, he's not a genius, but he might figure out that if he accepts a pardon, that's an admission of guilt, the United States Supreme Court has said. So I don't know that he would accept a pardon, but as part of healing the country and getting us to a place where we can focus on things that are going to matter over the next 4 years, I think Joe Biden's going to have to at least think about that.
Hmm.
Why do you believe Donald Trump belongs in jail?
Right. Based on what?
What crime? And the first thing that came to mind is, why are you saying that Biden should consider a pardon for Trump? Are you trying to get a pardon? That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
Now, here's the beauty of this whole thing. Apparently, he has a new book.
Oh, really?
The BBC interview was one of several media stops to promote his new book, Saving Justice, Truth, Transparency, and Trust.
I thought you said James Comey had a new book.
James Comey has a new book.
Truth, Transparency, and Trust?
And Trust. Saving Justice.
Nope. Not buying it.
Is that how you make money? Do you write a book, or I don't know, you do some type of media where you actually sell the opposite of what you've actually been?
Yeah. Liberals do that all the time.
Okay. I just thought that's an interesting way to make money.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
you know, right now, the incoming liberal administration is promoting unity. By ending the former administration's time in office with an impeachment. See how that works?
Yes, I'm just trying to follow this here, and I'm glad you're here to explain this all to me.
Yeah, and also calling members of Congress Hitler.
Oh, okay.
And Nazis. That's unity.
I'm just trying to figure out again how this all works. You know, Democrats are back in power, so I'm trying to figure. I sort of forgot.
It's like you get back into the old car again, going, oh man, okay, this one doesn't perform nearly as well. Oh man, But yeah, that's the way it works. That's you say something, you title your book one thing when you behaved clearly very differently.
So this story fits in perfect.
All right. Okay.
AOC said during a recent Instagram live video that we're going to have to figure out how we rein in our media environment so that you just can't spew disinformation and misinformation.
See? That's yes, it.
I see now.
Told you. Yeah. AOC says essentially it's wrong to spew misinformation.
During the video, she appeared to read a question that a commenter had posed about whether there is any discussion in Congress about a federal truth and reconciliation or media literacy initiatives to help with healing. In her response to the question.
Yeah, Comey's got a new book.
She.
It's mandatory reading starting January 21st.
Is this the Babylon Bee I'm reading here? There's absolutely a commission that's being discussed. Yes, we need a Democrat-run federal government commission to tell us about disinformation and misinformation and truth and reconciliation.
Yeah.
There's absolutely a commission that's being discussed, but it seems to be more investigatory in style rather than truce and reconciliation. So I think that that's an interesting concept for us to explore. I don't know what the hell that means. And, you know, I do think that several members of Congress in some of my discussion have brought up media literacy because that is a part of what happened here.
Media literacy?
And you're going to have to figure out how we rein in our media environment so that you just can't spew disinformation and misinformation. It's one thing to have differing opinions, but it's another thing entirely to just say things that are false. Oh, I've got one.
Mm-hmm.
That police departments are systemically racist to hunt down and kill blacks.
Mm-hmm.
That Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election.
Right.
Just a couple that came to mind, you know, absolute truths that exist out there, right?
Right. That a man can change his gender simply by saying so. We can do this all year, and we'll probably be doing it for the next 4 years.
That's what today's show is. Today's show is preparing for the next 2 years, at least.
At least the next 2 years.
At least two years. Because this is the type of lunacy we're going to be dealing with every day. So we got to talk about Jack Dorsey yesterday.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Coming out and essentially making a statement. Oddly enough, on Twitter. that was weird. So he essentially, you know, talks about it. He doubles down in this series of tweets in this thread here, but gets to it where he admits that it's a dangerous precedent, you know, but he really didn't say it was the wrong thing to do. Only that what I took from it is that he's okay with setting dangerous precedents. You know, I mean, you look at it and, you know, he claims they gave the president or whoever runs the account of, you know, a fair warning, a stern warning, whatever it was. But they changed the rules as they went. Now, again, they own the real estate. They get to do that. But they kept moving the goalposts in terms of what was going to be flagged. And still today, it's not anywhere close. Look. Alec Baldwin can post something of a violent nature or suggestion against a sitting president. Does that get taken down? Is that flagged? Is he banned? Nope. James Woods posts a comment on something in the news, and he's banned every other day. And, of course, we know what happened with the president. So, you know, for Jack to come out and, you know, and then he I don't know. I don't know if he was throwing conservatives a bone by saying it does set a dangerous precedent, but you're not helping your law team, Jack, at all.
Well, the one thing that we can't forget about all of this is that it, and we said this yesterday and the day before, and we'll probably repeat it a bunch more times, not that there wasn't criticism about, you know, the editing that Twitter was doing on conservatives and the fact that it was unfair.
Mm-hmm.
It even goes beyond that, and it goes to what happened with the New York Post story on that was absolutely true.
Right.
That Facebook and Twitter and all the media would not talk about a legit story that existed out there because it would have hurt their candidate. And so they did everything that they possibly could not to report something and ban other people from reporting it.
Right.
And that's what Twitter did. So it's not about the fact of we need to censor for content. They were censoring. We need to censor for violent content or threatening content. They censored content because it worked against from a legit news source in a story that was true and a witness that had come forward and a credible witness that had come forward that any other story, and we all know it, if any story, we know what they did with the president. We know what they did with Trump when it came to Russia collusion. They would print any source story, and how many turned out to be completely wrong without a witness? This had a witness and a business partner, and they refused to allow anyone to post that story. This is where this all really started. Not that it wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a story about whether now the president-elect, whether he has been and therefore is willing to sell the office of senator, vice president, and now president of the United States, whether he is willing to sell his influence to the highest foreign bidder. And they refused to carry it.
It was too close to the election.
Yep.
Doesn't work for their agenda.
And so that's, you know, that's where we are there. So, AOC, please spare me.
Yeah.
Misinformation. A federal commission.
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about that?
Politicians, Democratic liberal politicians, setting up a commission to explain to the American people about truth, justice, transparency.
Yeah.
Disinformation and misinformation. Just
gain control and make the rules. Not going to happen.
Well, that would be it, though. That would be the course. That'd be the commission.
Mm-hmm. That would be it. Gain control, make
the rules. 866-90-RED-EYE.
The fuel and exhaust systems inside diesel engines work closely together. As a result, fuel and exhaust-related issues can be some of the most difficult to diagnose. A symptom in one system can often arise from a problem in the other. Here is a common fuel and exhaust issue that might not be what it first appears. Your equipment is emitting sooty exhaust. Thick black exhaust is a sign of a soot problem, which can often be traced back to an issue in the fuel system, a plugged fuel filter. Critical for keeping contaminants out of your engine, a properly working filter allows clean fuel to flow freely through. Fuel filters are prone to plugging when the fuel that has already passed through it fails to burn completely during combustion. This leftover fuel, now chemically damaged, will gradually plug the filter as it makes its way back into the fuel line for a second cycle. To help prevent sooty exhaust, not to mention decreased power resulting from restricted fuel flow, Cinex Premium Diesel contains aggressive detergents that clean your entire fuel system, including the filter.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Will really be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. You know, Schumer said we're going to go ahead with the trial phase of impeachment. We're going to do it even after he's out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Biden yesterday said, well, I hope this doesn't interfere still with my agenda. Well, if you do this and you get the Senate and they start doing this, you're going to have Trump lawyers. And there's a question, who pays for Trump's lawyers if he's out of office? They still don't. That still would have to be decided.
Well, who presides?
Who presides?
Can they get the Supreme Court to say that, sorry, you don't get to punish as the Senate, you don't get to punish a private citizen, someone even if they're former president. I don't know. The logistical challenges are going to take up most of the time, and that likely will go on for a month or two at least, I predict. Because here's the other thing. Biden wants his cabinet picks seated, confirmed, done. You can't go through that. You don't have time every day to do both, to continue trial from impeachment and the hearings on the cabinet picks. You don't have that time.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.